Great. It's a pleasure, isn't it? A joy and privilege to be part of a day like this. Dedication is a really special time. A time when we can set aside an hour or two to just to thank God and to celebrate the gift of life. To celebrate the gift of Kyan, specifically to Martin and Izzy. It's a real pleasure to be able to say a few words now. And it's also a chance, isn't it, to recognise the massively important role that parents have to play in the life of a child. And it's a chance to, as we've already done, offer our support to Martin and Izzy as they do that. There's no question, being a parent is a big deal. It's a big responsibility. I still remember really vividly the first night after my daughter was born, my first daughter. She's out the back, she's four, just turned four, her name's Chloe. Just over 4 years ago, I was in Bristol, driving back from Southmead Hospital. She was born sort of 10 p.m.-ish, and my wife, Hannah, and Chloe stayed over that night in the hospital. I wasn't allowed to stay, so I drove home to get what I expected to be my last good night's sleep for a while. It was a very good night's sleep. Needless to say, Hannah didn't get quite such a good night's sleep. But I woke up that morning after sleeping in bed on my own for the last time for a while, and I remember thinking, I've got to drive to the hospital now to pick up my wife and my daughter. What happened there? It's the first time it really sunk in. I've got this new responsibility in my life. I'm not just a husband anymore. I'm now a dad as well. It's a big deal. Being a parent is a big deal. Because there's so much that they need to learn. And it's your job to train them. It's your job to prepare them for life. You need to train them the difference between right and wrong. How to make wise choices, not foolish choices. What's polite and what's rude. And then there's always at the back of your mind this nagging fear. That you know that kids learn mainly by example, not by words. So I've got to model this stuff. I've got to live in front of them and put into practice what I tell them. And there's the fear, what if they pick up my bad traits, my weaknesses? So here's a question for you. What's the most important thing that Martin and Izzy could do for Kyan? As he grows up, as they prepare him for life, what's the single most important thing they could do? Love, yeah. I was going to say that's probably what a lot of you are thinking. Give him a home of security and love. You might be thinking, give him a good education. Get him into a good school so he gets good results, gets to a good university, gets a good job. He's able to make a success of his life. You might think, give him training in good sort of social skills so he can form good friendships and eventually find the right woman to marry himself and have his own family. All these things are really important things. But I want to say to you, the single most important thing they could do for Kyan is the thing they've committed to do today. Actually, it's to teach him about Jesus. And you might think, you can't say that. How can that be the most important thing? How can that be more important than giving him a home of love and security, giving him a good education, training him to be a good person? Those things are really important. Don't get me wrong. They're all important things. But the single most important thing is that he learns about Jesus. You might think, but how can it be the most important thing to teach him just about some religion? You know, Christianity is not even the only religion. Why that one? Those are good questions. Let me try and explain why I say that. So pretty soon in his life, Kyan's going to discover what the world's like. And he's going to discover the world is broken. He'll probably first discover that when he finds out that his friends don't want to share their toys with him. Right, it's a gradual introduction. And then he'll grow up, he'll go to school, and he'll find out that people can be unkind, and people fight with each other, and people can leave him out of their groups. Then he'll grow older, he'll become a teenager. He'll discover that friendships are complicated, especially with girls, that there's competition, there's rivalry, there's jostling for position. And he'll find that there's rejection. And that's hard. And then he'll become an adult. And he'll discover a whole load more ways that the world's broken. He'll discover that people lose their jobs for no reason. He'll discover that people get ill. Loved ones get ill. And even die. He'll discover that there's injustice in the world. And he'll find out that there's wars. He'll find out, in short, he'll find out the world is a broken place. But secondly, Cain's going to discover that not just the world's a broken place, but that there's brokenness inside him. So he'll find out it's not only his friends that they want to share with him, but he doesn't want to share with his friends. And it's not only his friends that fight and are unkind, but he finds that unkindness is coming out of himself, and he finds that he's getting into fights. He finds there's something wrong inside himself. And I guess we've all had that experience. You find yourself doing something that you've said you won't do. That same thing again that you don't want to do. You find yourself getting annoyed or impatient with the people that are closest to you, people that you love the most. You find yourself losing your temper again. You find yourself looking at that thing you said you'd never look at again. You find yourself going to that place you said you'd never go again. And we try to change, but we can't change ourselves. We can't do it. There's something inside all of us that's broken, something that's diseased, something that's not right. And Cain's going to discover that. That's just reality. That's life. And what Cain needs most is to find some way of dealing with that reality, find some way of processing that, to find some way of living in a broken world and facing the reality without losing hope. And to find some way of dealing with the brokenness that's inside him before it eats him up and destroys him. And what I want to say is this: it's only by meeting Jesus that Cain can truly do those things. That he can truly do those things. So I want to show you what I mean by turning to a story from the Bible. It's in one of the books of the Bible called Mark, towards the end. So I'm going to be reading a bit from the Bible. If you haven't got one and you'd like to see one, we've got a whole bunch at the back. So please just stick up your hand. Peter and his glamorous assistant, Dave, will come and bring one over. I'm going to be reading just a few verses, but if you'd like to see, I'd encourage that. So you can see that what I'm saying is coming from the Bible. I'm not just making it up. While Peter and Dave deliver those Bibles, I'll give you a little bit of background and have a drink of water. So this story we're going to look at is all about how Jesus deals with brokenness. And it's a story where Jesus meets someone who is broken, who is a leper. He's got a disease called leprosy. Now, in the culture Jesus was in, leprosy was a really bad thing. It was an infectious skin disease. And in Jewish culture, it made you unclean. So you had to go to the priest, you had to go and tell the priest you got this disease. He would pronounce you unclean, and then you would be literally cast out from society. There'd be a part of town where you go to live, where no one else went, and everyone else with that disease went as well, and you wouldn't be able to touch anyone. You couldn't touch anyone. And if you wanted to go near anyone else, you had to ring a bell and say, unclean, unclean. You were outcast. You were excluded. You were shut out. So it's kind of, this disease is kind of a snapshot of the brokenness I was talking about. Because there's disease within and rejection from outside him. He's a broken person, and he's living in brokenness. And in Mark chapter 1, he's heard about Jesus, this guy. He's a leper, and he's heard about this guy who's just started this ministry. Jesus has just started going about in the region where the leper lives, healing people, preaching, teaching, showing that he's the kind of guy who's got authority to heal and to change people's lives. And the leper is intrigued. He's heard about Jesus. Jesus comes to his town, and the leper is desperate. And so let's read what happens. Mark chapter 1. If you've got one of these Bibles, I should have said the page number, shouldn't I? It's 837. If you've got one of these black Bibles, page 837. And Mark writes this. A leper came to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. So just picture the scene. This guy who's lived for however long in the outer fringes of society, he comes up, running up to Jesus, please make me well. He's on his knees. If you were one of the people that was with Jesus following him at the time, what would you have been thinking? You'd have been thinking, don't go near him. Don't touch that guy. That is bad news. If you touch him, you'll be infected yourself. And then you have to go outside the city. You have to go and live with them for however long till you're clean again. So what does Jesus do? Have a look at verse 41 on page 837. Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched the leper and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. This is really shocking stuff. Jesus reaches out, and his disciples are going, whoa, careful, careful, and he touches the man. And in that moment, that man experiences something he hasn't felt for years, human touch. Jesus touches him. He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to touch the man. He could have just healed him from a distance. But he came, he entered in, he identified with what he was going through. And if Jesus was any normal person, the result would have been Jesus gets infected. Jesus has got leprosy. But Jesus is no ordinary man. In this case, what happens? Instead of the disease coming to Jesus, life goes from Jesus to the man and he's healed. He's healed. He's set free from his disease, from his brokenness. It's amazing. And from this story, I think we learn a couple of things about Jesus that are really stunning that I want us to take away this afternoon. Two amazing things about Jesus and how he deals with brokenness. And the first thing is, Jesus cares. Jesus cares about brokenness. Did you see that? Verse 41, he sees the leper and he's moved with pity. He's moved with compassion. He cares. I think we tend to think of God as distant. We tend to think of God as somewhere out there, who's kind of pulling levers, and we're not really sure if we can trust him. He's kind of a cosmic dictator. He created the world. He's sort of in charge, but we don't really think he's got our best interests at heart. And as a result, we tend to blame God for the brokenness in the world, for everything that's happening, for the kind of stuff that Cain's going to discover when he grows up. We blame God for it. Why is there war? Why is there injustice? Why is there suffering? But actually, the God of the Bible is not that distant God. He's not distant at all. The God of the Bible comes down to our level. See, the good news of Christianity is that God has come down to us in Jesus. God's come down to our level. And actually, Jesus says, if you look at me, if you've seen me, you've seen God. That's amazing. Jesus says, I am what God's like. And what do we see Jesus doing here? He's moved with compassion. He cares. There's another place in one of the Gospels where another account of Jesus' life. Jesus' best friend, one of his best friends, dies. It's an unexpected death, an early death. Jesus goes to the tomb to be with the friends and family who are mourning. And Jesus weeps. Tears roll down his eyes. He's grieved. He hurts. He feels pain. The world is not the way he meant it to be. And that's what we need to understand. The world as it is, with suffering and pain and violence and injustice, it's not the way God meant it to be. See, when we look at Jesus and we see God, the God that Jesus introduces us to is very different from the God that we imagine. We imagine a God who's distant. We imagine a God, I don't know, I say the word God to you, and what comes into your mind? Whatever it is, put it out of your mind. Because the God that Jesus introduced us to could not be more different. He's a God who is good. A God who is overflowing with goodness. He knows nothing but goodness. And actually, the reason he made the world was to be a little reflection of his goodness and for humans to taste his goodness, to experience his goodness in relationship with him, in connection with him. But humanity as a whole have turned our backs on God. You see, we don't think he's good. Naturally, do we? By default, we don't think God's good. We don't naturally trust him. We're naturally suspicious of him. We think, have you really got my best interests at heart? Are you really wanting the best for me? And we prefer to live on our own terms. And in doing that, we're walking away from life. And that's why the world is broken, because we've walked away from life. And the result is bound to be decay, disease, brokenness, death. Because everything's come apart. It's a bit like a Christmas tree. If you were to go to a forest in Norway, just imagine yourself now in a forest in Norway where these nice pines come from. And you're walking along through the forest and you go up to one of the trees and you touch it and it's planted in the ground, its roots are deep, it's healthy, it's growing. You rub one of the needles in your fingers and you smell it. It's got that great Christmas tree smell. And it's healthy, it's alive, and it's growing, it's flourishing. And then go to a living room somewhere in the UK in early January, and you take that same tree, and it's very different. There's needles on the floor. The needles that are on the tree are looking a bit brown. The branches are limp. It's covered up in tinsel. You can kind of pretend that the inevitable is not going to happen, but really that tree is just destined for the dump because it's cut off from its life source. That tree is actually, well, it might look nice with baubles and chocolate decorations and whatever you like. It's actually dead. It's dying. And the same is true from us. When we turn away from God, who is the source of life, then we're dead. We're cut off from him. See, he made us to be like that tree in that forest. He made us to be connected to him. He made us to be planting our roots deep down in a relationship with him, to be growing and flourishing and healthy. That's what he made us for. And when we turn away from him, when we cut ourselves off from him and live life on our own terms and we think, it's my life, I'll do it the way I want, thank you very much. What we're doing is we're cutting our trunk off at the roots and we're dead. And we can dress ourselves up in tinsel and decorations and we can pretend everything's okay, and we do, and it works most of the time. But the reality is, physically, we're decaying, and the older you get, the more you know that's true. But spiritually, we're dead. And we all know there's a problem. We all know that within us there's some brokenness. We know that there's something not right. And here's the point. God cares. It's not what he intended. That's not what he meant us for. He meant us for relationship with him. And God's there saying, no, don't do it. Don't cut yourself off. Don't pull yourself away from me. It's not what I made you for, because he loves us. And he's grieved that we choose death and not life, because he cares. So, I don't know everyone's background here. One thing I do know is that all of us will be experiencing this kind of brokenness I'm talking about in some way, because that's life, that's reality. All of us will be experiencing brokenness in some way in our lives. Whether it's that you're going through an illness yourself, maybe you're struggling with poor health and you have been for a while, you're experiencing the illness of a loved one, someone that you care deeply about who's struggling, and that's painful in all sorts of different ways for different reasons. Maybe you're just looking on at the suffering in the world and you're saddened. We've seen lots of pictures recently of the migrant crisis. And I felt heartbroken. Those pictures of these people who have left Syria, Iraq, for the hope of a better life, and they've died on the journey. Or they've made it and they're being shut out. Maybe you're just saddened by the suffering in the world. Maybe you're dealing with some kind of conflict in a relationship. I think it's you can't live for longer than a few weeks or months without experiencing some kind of conflict, even days, in a relationship with someone. Maybe it's been caused by someone else. Maybe it's been caused by you. But that's hard. Or maybe the brokenness that you're experiencing at this moment is in yourself. An addiction that you can't beat. Or a guilt that you can't get over. Or a hurt that just won't go away. Or maybe just the general selfishness that keeps on surfacing and sabotaging and ruining things. Whatever kind of brokenness it is that you're experiencing right now and being confronted by, know this. God cares. He cares. It's not the way he wanted it to be. He looks on that and he feels compassion. Now you might think, okay, fair enough. If he cares so much, why am I still suffering? Why am I still going through it? Why does God still allow all this injustice? Why does he allow people to get sick? Why isn't he doing anything about it? And that brings us on to the second thing I want us to know about Jesus from this story. Jesus cares about brokenness, but Jesus came to heal brokenness. He came to heal brokenness. He's actually already done something about it. You see, in the story, Jesus doesn't just feel sad about the leper, does he? He doesn't just think, oh, what a shame, and walk on by. He could have done that. There were lots of people in his day who were diseased by the side of the road, but he doesn't. He stops, and he reaches out, touches him, and heals him. And you see that same kind of thing happening all through the gospel accounts of Jesus' life, all the way through. It's like he's on a one-man mission, waging war on disease and death and healing. He goes around, he touches people's eyes, they're blind and they see. He touches deaf people's ears and they hear. He even raises people from the dead. He's this one-man mission, waging war on death. But that's just a shadow of a far greater thing that he does. He wages war on the sickness and death inside us. That's the far greater thing that he does. See, he loves us too much to let us just walk away and self-destruct. He loves us too much to let us just choose death. And he's committed to doing whatever it takes to bring us back to where we were made for, relationship with him. And so, he enters in to our world. He comes into our world as Jesus. He takes on human flesh. He becomes a man to come and find us. And not only that, he goes to his death. He dies for us. He dies our death. He dies the death that we've chosen by turning away from him. And then he rises again to new life. And he offers us that life with him. And he does all of that even though we've rejected him, even though we've turned our back on him. Why? Because he loves us. It's incredible. He loves us because he wants us to be back in that relationship with him that we were made for. He wants us to be reconnected with him. He wants us to be like those trees planted in that Norwegian forest, growing, healthy, flourishing. We don't deserve it. It's mind-blowing, but it's true. He does it because he loves us. And it's only in relationship with Jesus that we can find healing from our brokenness and hope for the world. And that's why I say, that's the most important thing that Martin and Izzy can do for Kyan. To teach him about Jesus so he can enter into that relationship he was made for. If you want an example, just chat to Izzy afterwards. It's been a joy to have Izzy part of our church for the last few months, and she's someone who's found healing and hope in a relationship with Jesus. It's the most important thing for Kyan, and it's the most important thing for us too, for each one of us. Because we all need this life. We all know that we need it. We all know there's brokenness inside us. And it's offered to all of us. No matter what you've done, no matter how far away you feel from God, no matter how much you've rejected him, no matter how hard you've slammed the door on him, that life's offered to us all. The only thing that's required is that you come with nothing. Just like the leper. He didn't offer anything to Jesus. He came with his hands open. All he had was his brokenness and his need. And that's all we need. To give up the fight, believe that he loves you, and receive that offer of life. Maybe you're sitting there and your heart's thinking, yeah, that's me. That's me. And I want you to know that can happen today. You can just tell God anytime in your heart, I never knew how much you love me. I want to bring you my brokenness, bring you my helplessness, and I want to enter a relationship with Jesus. That can happen anytime. You could pray that prayer now. Just like any relationship, that's going to be gradual. It takes time to get to know someone, and it takes time to get to know Jesus. If that is you, tell someone where you're at. Tell Izzy or one of us. We'd love to walk that journey with you. Or you might be thinking, it could be me, but I'm not sure. Again, it's a journey. Keep asking questions and start getting to know Jesus. Read one of the gospel accounts of his life. The book I've read from here is called Mark's Gospel. It's the shortest of the four gospels. We've got a few copies at the back, so feel free to take one of those. You'd be really welcome to have that for free as a gift from us. Or talk to someone. We run a sort of a three-week informal kind of a chat, a discussion kind of course called 321, which is an introduction to Jesus, really. We'd love to have you come along to one of those courses if you want to find out more. But wherever you're at this afternoon, know this. God is not distant and uncaring. He cares about your brokenness, and he came to heal you and give you life.